Thank you for joining our show. I am Wanda McKinley, the founder of We Are Survivors, which is a nonprofit organization. Our purpose is to provide a stable environment for abused, battered women and children, providing temporary shelter, counseling, and employment training. We want to help women transition from abusive situations to being self-sufficient women in society. We are survivors. We are here to empower women and to show them that they can and will survive and thrive in their society on their own, and to uplift them and provide them with a new way of life, a new perspective of what a normal life should be by elevating their lives. I am a survivor of domestic violence. I was raped from the age of 7 to 18 by my biological father as well as my stepfather. My ex-husband was also very abusive. He was sexually, financially, verbally, emotionally, and physically abusive. I was with him for 12 years. God has called me to be transparent so that I may help women and children who have walked or may be walking in my shoes. Thank you once again for joining our show today. Today we'll be talking to Pamela Hayden, who is the president and CEO of New For You Enterprises, and also a very powerful woman of God. Hello, Pamela. How are you today? Yes. Hello, Pamela. Yes, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm good.
Can
how
you
are
me?
You? Were you not?
I'm good.
I can hear you. Good.
Now, look, now I can hear you. We also have Stephanie Alford, who's a co-host, joining our show today. Stephanie, how are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you guys?
Great. Now, Pamela, tell us about your concept behind New For You Enterprises.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, how much time we got?
This is an hour show, Pamela. It's an hour show.
All right, I promise I'll make it as brief as possible. New For You, it actually is spelled capital N, capital U, the number 4, and the capital U. That came from my own spiritual walk, and there was a point in my life where I had given myself completely to corporate America, and I needed something new for me. And in the place where I was at spiritually, the Lord was speaking to me about being new, because the Word teaches us that we become a new creature in Christ when we give our heart to the Lord Jesus. And in doing that, everything becomes new for you. I mean, you have new ways of doing things, new ways of thinking, your heart becomes new. Everything around you is just like, it's like everything is just new. So the concept of New For You Enterprises came to me actually from just a spiritual conversation, and first began doing recycling and repurposing of goods, household goods.
Okay.
So, and I just did some research and development in the area that I live in, and I found out that there was a ton of product that was out of the marketplace that was being wasted that could actually be recycled, reused, and resold and be new for you for someone else. And then those proceeds, you know, can either sustain as far as if somebody wanted to create that as a business, or I actually took it and was using it to create funds that could support nonprofits. So from the New For You, I created several divisions. I do educational workshops that will help individuals, including women that have come out of bad situations, whatever they are. And it helps get them back on their feet, teaches them skills so they can self-support, get out in the marketplace, and become a valuable member of society. And we talk about how they can bring value by being an employee. And then the newest thing that we're doing, New For You, is a swap shop. And we provide a fun environment. It's a boutique environment where people bring their gently used and new goods, whether it's apparel or household or office furnishings, and you bring them, you swap with other ladies in the that are participating in the event, So everything you bring, then you swap for just as many things as you bring. So if you bring 10 items, you get to shop for 10 items, which will be new for you. And you take them home and enjoy them. So, yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun. And so is there a charge for the swap shop? And how often do you have that?
Yeah,
and is
there
worth a location?
Great question, and thank you for asking that, Wanda. Right now we're currently doing it in the North Dallas area. It's like at 635 in Midway, and I think that's like Farmers Branch or North Dallas. It's
mm-hmm.
just right there on the, you know, like on the city line. And we do it once a month at that facility, but I'm looking to do it at other facilities around the DFW Metroplex. And it definitely does generate some nonprofit revenue for businesses, or it'll create regular revenue for them, whatever they choose. We can also do events in homes. They're great for fundraisers. So, yeah, we're kicking off and having a ball, and it's $20 to come. And that covers all of the fees that are affiliated with the facility. We do have nice refreshments. You get giveaways and all kinds of fun stuff from vendors. We have vendors that are there doing live demonstrations. We do educational information. There'll be great power-packed FAQs on business and personal life skills. And, of course, you know, my ultimate goal is always just to share the love of Christ with everybody and let them know how valuable they are and how life in Him can be new for them.
Now, earlier you mentioned that you came from the corporate world. Can you
mm-hmm.
let everyone know exactly, like, how depth your background is in the corporate world? Because you and I have spoken before, and
okay.
your resume is impressive. Can you share with some people your background?
Oh, very gracious of you, honey. Thank you. I had the privilege of helping to build two businesses. My career, so to speak, quote unquote, started actually in my 30s after an unfortunate divorce. And I had to do something, and I couldn't go back to doing what I was doing before I was married, because I was a sales director for Sheraton International, which required me to be away from my home a lot. And I couldn't do that anymore after the divorce because, of course, I had children. So my career started in mortgage banking,
mm-hmm.
and I was successful in it. I have done everything from A to D paper, and people that are in the mortgage business, they'll understand that vernacular. From that, I went into processing. I've done underwriting, and then I did managing. And from there, I went into... Once we did all the mortgage, I knew back in 1998, it was pretty easy to see the writing on the wall, what was happening, and I went to
right.
financial. So I became a financial planner, and I, you know, got my 6 and 63 and 7, and I did life insurance, and I actually helped build an agency with the intent. The agency owner provided the opportunity for those of us who opted to stay, to help build that agency. And once we built it to a certain amount of money, revenue, yearly,
mm-hmm.
then he was going to IPO it, and we would all become part owners. So there was only about 8 of us that stayed. We built it when we first came. The agency was only doing about $3 million. And within 5 years, we built it to doing $50 million. And
wow.
myself, personally, I was doing between the $5 and $6 million a year, producing, bringing in. So that was my part, as well as taking on the marketing and the nonprofit side, which this gentleman had created. It was a nonprofit that provided goods and services to the retirement community in the state.
Okay.
Long story short, I just knew the structure of it was completely wrong, because I have been in the nonprofit world by serving not only.
Uh-oh. Did we lose it?
I'm not sure.
Can you hear me?
Now we can.
We can
I don't know
now.
What we, it's like we lost you.
Uh-oh. Well, that's wild. I'm sorry if I have a bad signal. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay, good. So what was the last thing you heard, pretty lady?
Nonprofit organization. You knew something wasn't wrong with the structure.
Okay. So I brought to the attention of the individual who had started the nonprofit that it was structured incorrectly, and we needed to restructure it or we were going to get in trouble with the federal government, quite frankly. So once we all sat down and powwowed and did our due diligence, it was noticed and known that, yes, it was structured incorrectly. So we made the proper changes. And the unfortunate part, when I talk about giving myself to the corporate world, I gave myself all my time and talents to this individual, believing that we were going to go IPO, and he changed his mind.
Wow.
So we had worked and built. I had given my life to them. That's where I kind of thought I was going to stay, so to speak. And when that opportunity was no longer there, the opportunity came up for me to actually take over the nonprofit and run that as the CEO, because I was the only one who understood the structure, was making the organization grow. I had the privilege of working with the government agencies, large retailers across the nation, any type of service provider that you can imagine on the local level and on the state level and on the federal level to provide services and bring those to my organization and help market those out. So my job was to make sure that everybody who participated by providing a good or a service to my member, that they were to make money. And then my member expected to receive goods and services of great value to them so that them paying a membership fee was warranted. There was value in it. So I had both sides of the coin to make sure that we had value-added services and value-added revenue. And I was just blessed and did it, big, and had a ball at it. It was awesome. And I had the privilege of serving there for 5 years. And we actually had conversations about taking it on a national level, building that group outside of the state that we were in, which was my hope and dream. But unfortunately, the other people in play, I was not voted with. I was voted against. So I could only grow it so far. And
right.
I had
support.
Pretty much grown it to the ability that I could grow in that local area. And I was proud to say that when I took over the organization, we only had about 6,000 members. When I walked away, I had 38,000 members. They were all paying membership fees, and revenue was rolling in like there was no tomorrow, which was good. I had a call center that was calling out to the state to provide free services to some of our retired members in the community. I had the privilege of creating a workshop that provided educational information to my members, and I was doing workshops throughout 9 counties on a weekly basis, at least 2 times a week, but at the most I had done workshops 5 days a week and 2 workshops a day. So, yeah, there was a lot of great things. I was very busy. But, you know, I love the term busy, Miss Wanda. I get it. But here's what I love better than busy. I needed to be fruitful.
Yes.
And I don't, you know, I believe that everything that we lay our hand to should be fruitful. And we should see something from it. Right?
Oh, I totally agree. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yes. So, like, the new for me concept, God-given idea, you know, everything I lay my hands to should be fruitful, and if it's not fruitful, I take my hands off. And that is something that God has taught me. And I'm so thankful for that because it makes it so much easier in our life to understand there's a difference between being busy, you know, having activity and flutter going on, as opposed to being fruitful and productive. And I think we've lost those terms. We've lost those terms.
That's more like they say I'm working smarter and not harder.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So with all of your experience in the corporate world, all of your knowledge, because I can tell you, I've taken a Series 63 test for it because I'm also an insurance agent. Uh-huh. Those insurance tests are not easy by no means.
Not at all.
Series 7 is
Series
7 ridiculous.
Just makes you pull your hair out.
Yes, it's totally ridiculous. So
yep.
That just tells me how intelligent you are, because I've looked at those tests. I've taken the Series 63. I have my license. I reviewed the study guide for Series 7, and I said absolutely not. Not doing it. That test is, what, 8 hours long? Or two? One of them is 2 days long. Too long for me.
Two days,
I can tell you that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So with all of your knowledge, you stepped away from the corporate world and decided to do your own thing.
I did.
That speaks volumes. And how long have you been on your own? How long have you stepped out on faith and said, okay, God, I've experienced everything I can in the corporate world. I'm going to take my knowledge, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to step out on faith, and I'm trusting you. Here I go. How long have you been walking on that path?
Wow, great question. Great question. And as you know, Wanda, I'm very candid and very open. I've really got nothing to hide with you, so here's the real deal. I've dabbled. Dabbled, meaning, you know, I've walked in faith halfway for 4 years. So I've, you know, done a little job here and I've done a little job there and, you know, I've built a little here and I've built a little there. And I love how God moves us delicately to the place that we need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that to encourage the women who, you know, if they happen to be somebody who's given themselves to the corporate world and they're still finding themselves to be dry and empty, there's a reason for that.
Right.
There's a reason for that. And my intent for doing what I know that I should do is I need to walk 100% in what God has for me. And the only way that we can do that as individuals is to do what He calls us to. And He has called me to grow and build for Him, to build the kingdom. And in building His kingdom, He'll build mine.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when I took the full boat, so to speak, jumped over the boat. I got my blinders on in the whole nine yards 6 months ago. And I'm still walking in it. And I will tell you, it's been one of the most freeing, nervy, out of, you know, I hate using some of the typical words, you know, out of the box, different. What? No. You know what? This is between me and God.
Yes.
And every woman or any person who's listening, wherever you're at, it's going to be between you and God. You doing what God's called you to do. And I will tell you, Miss Wanda, with the privilege that I had of doing what I've done all those years, I had worked with hundreds, if not thousands, of business owners, and the emptiness that was so evident in their lives. That itself spoke volumes to me, because people will do what they have to do to make a dollar.
That's so true.
And they'll not do what they're built and bent to do. And that's what I always encourage people to do. That's the most important thing. Do what you know you are built and bent to do. And if you don't know what that is, that's part of what I do as an executive consultant. I help people define their true destiny and purpose, and then I help them get on that path and get there and help them and support them walk in that. Because there's people all day long, man, they're just going to job, pulling a paycheck, and going home miserable, right? And then that's when the abuse can get even worse at home, because they take it out on the wife or the kids or the husband or the whatever in the house, right? And they're just empty. People are just empty, And when people are empty, that's when abuse starts, because they don't know, they don't understand what the emptiness is, and that's the God
right.
spot. That's the God
Pamela,
spot.
Pamela, can you repeat what you just said about who they take it out on? Because some people don't recognize that. So can you just repeat how that comes into play again?
Sure. When an individual is empty at their job, and I'm only talking about work, if they're empty at their job and they've spent all day long pouring themselves into a business or a task for the day that they're not really supposed to be there, then it causes an internal aggravation for them because they're miserable. So they come home, and whoever is in the home is going to be the one that's going to feel the brunt of their emptiness. And their frustration and their aggravation, they take it out on their spouse, their kids, their pets, their belongings. It doesn't matter. Everybody has a different way of showing their emptiness. And so that's where abuse comes from, because people don't realize what the emptiness is on the inside, and they don't know how to handle those emotions. So because abuse is only fruit that comes from the root problem that's inside our heart is Jesus.
You are so right about that.
Yeah. So we got a whole lot of fruit of people that are hurting one another. I mean, it, you know, started from the very time that, you know, Cain killed Abel. Or is it the other way around? Abel killed Cain. Which one? Whatever. One of the brothers killed the other brother. So abuse is not new. It just is magnified.
When you said that, I was doing some research because I have to speak at a women's conference in October, actually for Granny's Place. And I was doing some research, and I was trying to, I had to pick a verse that my speech was going to be surrounding. So my first mind was, okay, let me look up something about abuse. Because it is in October, it's, you know, Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And so I started Googling and started writing down verses. And 2 Samuel, and I can't remember the verses that it was referring to, but it actually talked about abuse. And the brother, it was a stepbrother that actually laid with his stepsister, made her, it was actually half-sister, laid down with his sister, and the other brother became aware of it and told his sister not to say anything. So when I read that in the Bible, I was like, wow. You're talking about domestic violence that go back thousands of years, and even then in the biblical times, women were taught to not say anything.
Right. Yeah. And I don't want to get too deep into that because I don't want people to get confused, but, you know, there was a time where brother had to lay with sister because that was the beginning of procreation. But then, you know, when God said, that's it, no more, you don't do this, now you start marrying and laying outside of your own family members, that's where you're talking about. I just want to make sure that everybody's clear on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
that's a true statement. Yes. They did,
but
yes, even back then.
Yeah, to do that research and to see that when she was actually, like, saying no and it still happened and then was told not to say anything. But it was just, like, to read that, for me, being a survivor, I was just like, okay, so this goes back, you know, several thousand years ago. And they say everything that's happening on the sun has already, it's already happened. And
that's right.
For me,
tells us that.
Yes, it was just like, so I went from domestic violence to encouragement, and it was some very powerful versus something I'm really excited about building my platform around encouragement and
very
empowering,
cool.
Yes, women, to let them know, not even with domestic violence, but you can be, like you were talking about, a job situation that you're empty. And you just,
mm-hmm.
you pull up to your job in the morning, you're thankful that you have it. And you don't want to seem like you're
mm-hmm.
ungrateful. It's like, oh my God, I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I don't want to seem like I'm complaining, because there are so many people
mm-hmm.
that desire a job, need a job, and can't find a job. But
sure.
you can walk into that place of employment, and you're right, just be empty, because you have to be there, and that's not a place
mm-hmm.
that you want to be. And some of us
mm-hmm.
know that that's another purpose. But a lot of people are really afraid of making that change, because we become dependent, like you said, on that check. We become dependent on clocking in and clocking out, because we know that's stability to a certain degree, because no job is promised to anyone. But for people that no, there's something more for them to do. There's something more for them in life, and they feel trapped, and they feel empty. It's like they don't know who to turn to or who to talk to, because a lot of times you can go to your friends, and your friends will look at you and laugh because they're like, girl, please, be thankful you got a job. Instead of saying, you know, motivating them to step out on faith, to go after your dream, to live your dream. Some people just are in like a rut and
mm-hmm.
just do the same thing day in and day out, and not knowing that it is so much more in the world if you just believe
mm-hmm.
and trust in God and allow Him to lead your steps. It is elevating for me, because I know this walk that He has me on, it was not something that I wanted to do. I'm just being very honest. This is, for me to be transparent, it has changed my life. It has made me a better person. So I'm thankful that I was obedient, for one, because it has enlightened me. It has taught me some things. It actually keeps me excited for, okay, God, when I wake up in the morning, what's going to happen today? And He always shows me something different. It's always something like, wow. Even today, when I got a crazy phone call about a large amount of money I had to pay for my car, I had to be thankful that I have that car. I had to be thankful that, hey, I'm not walking. And that, hey,
mm-hmm.
God has blessed me with the means to take care of that, even though He knows I did not want to pay what I have to pay to get my car fixed. But I'm learning to look on the good side and not focus on the negative. Because there's a positive and a negative. And what we seem to focus on most of the time is the negative. Just like with you and the corporate, you've learned all these things in the corporate world. And you could have just sat to yourself and be like, okay, I'm just, because I'm so knowledgeable. In the corporate world, you're in high demand because you know a lot. You're very educated,
mm-hmm.
and your personality is very bubbly. So you're in high demand in the corporate world. So you could have just did the regular thing and stay in the corporate world and make someone else's company stronger and better. But you decided
mm-hmm.
to do new for you. Now,
well,
you're new for you.
I just
want
to address something as you're sitting here talking, and thank you so much. I apologize if I interrupted.
You're okay.
And this is for anybody who's listened, and I want this to be very, very clear that the reason why, Wanda, people strive in whether it's corporate America or their businesses or whatever, but most people are striving in a business scenario, work scenario. They are striving to be good for a reason. And those reasons always need to be defined. And I'm going to address abuse again, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So as a young woman, I was sexually abused by my brother. I've experienced date rape. I have been with unwanted pregnancies. I have dealt with verbal abuse. I would be what the world would consider not a very valuable individual. And this is key. Feel. When they truly feel in their heart that they are of no value, they will do whatever they have to do to create value and make it look valuable in their life. That's why, for myself, I strived to be better and better and better. And the world teaches us that you become part of the pinnacle when you achieve CEO position, when you achieve, you know, comfortable living, nice cars, all the tchotchke, all the bling bling, blah, 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 blah. So people who go through abuse, this sometimes is how they will run from it. I'm going to use that term, run, because I never faced it, so to speak. I was like, okay, it happened, it's done, next, go on. And because of my personality, I could easily turn my head to it, but it was still in my heart, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
So when I had reached, quote, unquote, my pinnacle, you know, I felt like I would be of value if I became CEO, if I had done what I was told that I should do. This is what success looks like. Then I would feel valuable. I would be of value in the way that the world deems value. But even in all of that, Wanda, I didn't feel valuable. Still felt empty. But hey, make no mistake, girl, I was driving good, looking good, snap, you know, I had it going on, right? But
to the outside world,
empty.
Yes.
I was still empty. And that's where I do the best I can to share with individuals that, listen, no matter where you're at and no matter what you're doing and what you've achieved, unless you let the God spot get filled, then all that we endeavor to achieve on our own in our fleshly terms will never amount to what God can do in one moment in our life. So when individuals a lot of times are striving for those titles in life, those positions in life, tension, you'll see most of them may have some type of abuse in their background. And it could be as simple as a very harsh parent, which is verbal abuse.
Yes.
You know, if you have a militant parent, dude, that's hard. That's hard. And, you know, that's why sometimes men struggle so much with anger, because they don't know where to go with it, you know. So it has to come out. Same thing with
Pamela,
women. That's why. Go ahead.
That was why I wanted you to repeat what you said, because a lot of people don't recognize that. And with the way you put it, then maybe somebody listening, or maybe somebody will be able to share it with somebody else, saying, okay, maybe you need to look at this. And then they can realize that they're actually going through abuse, because a lot of people don't realize that they're actually being abused.
Yeah. 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 You know, if and the thing of it is that, you know, the world can really jack you up. I mean, I'm just here to tell you, it will jack you up one way and down the other, and it will look normal, because we're just so seeped in it. And I love that, you know, when I learned that the Word of God teaches us that as Christians, you know, when we have made that decision to actually live a life of following Jesus Christ, that we are to be in the world, but we're not to be like the world. And when we truly are an authentic, born-again, Holy Ghost believing, talking, walking child of God,
then he teaches us to be completely different, to respond different, to think different, to behave different, and we handle things totally different. And I will tell you, when I had the privilege of taking over, God was really working with me on leadership because I was taking on a staff of 32. And, you know, as many people as you can help, that's as many people that you can hurt. And I didn't never want to be in that place where I could hurt somebody. So
yes,
he had to teach
something else.
Me. Yep, he had to teach me, you know, how to communicate effectively with individuals, especially in high emotion scenarios. Because you know as well as I do, especially girls, the emotions are just all over the page. And you have to be able to learn how to cut through what is really sometimes just some abuse that's going on at home, whether it is the verbal abuse or, you know, maybe there's some physical contact or maybe they've just experienced a long run of bad relationships, which deem the word abuse, I believe that the world has kind of stuck it in a mold that it means that there's some type of mark that's left that you can physically see.
That you can see, correct.
Right, but abuse is really hurting anything and causing it to be different than what it was naturally created to be. And that is us as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are really created to be in the image of our Heavenly Father. And until each of us find that for ourselves and we receive that and we understand how valuable we are, each and every one of us has great value in the eyes of our Heavenly Father. But when you get around true, authentic Christians, you should be able to feel the value as well.
Right.
We should be valuing one another and the giftings that we have and where we're at in our life and realize that none of us have arrived, none of us are perfect, but we all can bring great stuff together. I like to think about like the big summer salad. You know, some of us are strawberries and some of us are kiwis and some of us are grapes.
Yes.
We got watermelon and
cantaloupe.
And going on. You know, we just got all kinds of good stuff inside that bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we are as people. And it's just, I just really wanted to bring that out to individuals so that they understood that I understand no matter what they go through, we have to be cognizant of sometimes recognizing how our heart gets hurt from a variety of different situations. And hurt upon hurt upon hurt upon hurt over years, it takes a while to peel back that onion. You know, I was 30 years old before I came to know the Lord. And for 30 years, baby, I partied up like hell. I mean, Satan had a good time with me. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, period.
Made him mad when you left him. Yeah.
Yeah. You know? And all he wanted to do was use me up and spit me out. And when I found out that there was more value to me than that, that made the whole difference. And that's what's driving me for the new for you. And no matter what I do, I will always make sure that the people that are in my presence feel valuable. And I want to show them their value. And I just trust on God to help me to get that accomplished because Lord knows I can't do it on my own. I'm too sassy.
I remember the first, I'll never forget the first time I met you. And I tell people this story all the time because the God in you comes in the room before you get there. It was just a group of us just sitting, waiting for everything to get together because we were getting ready to do a TV show. And you're just this bubbly, just a bubble of excitement. You're like a walking Jesus board. you advertise, you market God. And if no one, if they didn't know him before you walked in the room, by the time you left out, they would know him. Because I can remember sitting in my seat like, who is this woman standing behind me with all this excitement about God? I'm excited about mm-hmm. God. But, honey, by the time mm-hmm. you got through talking, I had pom-poms mm-hmm. in my hands. I had a cheerleading uniform, and we were going to win. No matter what was going to happen, we were going to win. And that's what you bring when you are in a room, hands down. I will never forget the way you made, even we were quiet, but when you spoke, it's like you joined, all of a sudden everybody was, you know, engaging in conversation, passing out business cards, and we were really just sitting there until you walked in the room and just lit it up. So before you walk in, God walks in like, okay, here comes my child. That is what you bring, and I'm so thankful that I know you personally. Because even when you sit down and have a conversation with you, which is what I've done, 3 hours mm-hmm. later, we're still talking about awesome God is.
Yeah.
And you don't even realize the conversation because you're so pure. And it's such mm-hmm. an honor to be able to know someone that you walk hand in hand with him. And if people that know you don't know that, they don't know you. They don't know you.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And I just want to really commend you because all over you, it's God and your love for him and what he's done for you. And they say that in church every Sunday. When you become that God-fearing Christian, it's not mm-hmm. what you say. People can just see it, and they see it in you. Before you even walk in the room, this your aura, your presence, it's there. You are what a lot of Christians be like, wow, did you feel that when she walked? It's you. And I just want to say personally for me that I'm just thankful to know someone like you. Because you give off this love, and it's like, wow, I want to feel what she feels. Because you just, oh my goodness, you're awesome, Pamela. You know, I always talk about your personality, and your personality is full of Jesus. You have a Jesus personality, and it's wonderful because if someone's feeling low or someone's down, I'm like, I got a person you can call, and I promise you, by the time you get off the phone, you're going to forget why you called her.
That's right.
Because you're
going to
feel revived. And that's who you are.
Oh, thank you, honey. I'm honored. You know, my mission in life is to make him famous. And
you're doing it.
Yes,
well,
you are.
Okay, I'm straight up, I'm telling you, ladies, there is nothing. No, we don't have enough time, but there is nothing that anybody has gone through that I haven't gone through. Nothing. And I say that 100%.
You don't look like what you've gone through, honey, because you are gorgeous, beautiful. You don't look like that. And I just
the only
love
thing
that.
I haven't,
it's like,
and isn't that good? That's why I love when he says that he makes us a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things become new in him. And the moment that we can grasp that in our life, and let him start chipping away all the crud that's on us from the world. Because it doesn't happen overnight, but I promise you, it happens. He promises, he says, listen, whatever I start in you, I'm going to finish in you. And everything that you need, I got it. I got this, baby. Don't sweat it. Read the back of the book. You win. I win. You win. I win. You win. I win. So there's nothing that can't be erased in our life, and we can start fresh and anew, but it all starts by saying yes to Jesus and then yielding our mind and our will so that that can be transformed. You have to learn to think different and yield your will. And that's where a lot of, that's where I think a lot of my fellow Christians trip up. You know, they just kind of think that they can sit on church on Sunday and get an hour. I call it get a little snack and think they can live all week long. Well, dude, I can't get a snack and live all week long. Oh, that you, seriously, you mm-hmm. and I have been out to eat. Chick, I know you
yes.
and I don't snack. We eat, right? So, and we
right.
eat, you know, like 5-6 times a day, for God's sakes. And then most people, they want to go have a snack and think they can be victorious Christians and, you know, love one another and care for one another. And I'm like, you're a mess. You're a mess. No, the Word tells us we got to daily renew our mind. We got to
yes.
daily renew our mind. And everything that we do, it's a moment-by-moment relationship. It's a moment-by-moment. And that's why I get too excited. Now I need a platform. I'm going to have to get off of here and go preach to somebody because God's awesome. He is awesome.
He is.
He's awesome.
He
you
is.
You know what I love? Jesus can heal you everywhere that you hurt.
Mm-hmm.
He heals it. Everywhere. Everywhere. In your finances, in your family, in your mind, in your heart, in your relationships, in your job, in your business. It doesn't matter. No matter where you're feeling hurt, Jesus can fix it. He can fix it,
and
he can heal it, and call it done.
The good thing about that is when he's doing it, you see it. You know
yes.
when it's happening. And then you just call his name out to let him know Jesus thinking. You know when it's happening. It's not a surprise. You know it. You feel it. You see it.
Mm-hmm.
And you sit back and it's amazing. Because I know when it happens to me, I'll be like, my God.
Yep.
You know when he's working. You don't
yes.
have to figure it out. You don't have to guess. God, is that you? You know when it's him. And when you
yes.
do accept him. It's not people who have to try and walk the walk. If you have to try, you're not there because it
right.
becomes a way of life. You feel
mm-hmm.
it. It's just it's
sure.
automatic. It's without thinking, and
yep.
that's when you know that you're walking with him, and not snacking
yes.
as you say on Sunday. Because yeah, I like to eat.
You know. Absolutely. And I love that, you know, he says that you'll have joy unspeakable. So when I come across a fellow Christian and they're dragging around like they got, you know, 20 pounds of bricks on their back, I'm like, what? You know, like what is this? You know, I mean, we're
right.
going to have trials and tribulations. We know
yes.
that. But read the back of the book. You win. You know, we already win. It's a matter of getting our mind right and lining up with his will so that we can handle scenarios and all the things that happen in life the way that he does. And, yes, I said the way that he does because that was why he came, so he would be an example for us that we can do life the way that he does.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go any farther than that. But, you know, it's like if you know Jesus, then you got every answer you're ever looking for. So, man, get your pom-poms and let's go at it, man. Dance on the devil's head. He can't win. You know,
all
he
right.
cannot win. There's no weapon that's formed against you that can prosper. He promises that he will meet your every need. He promises that you would be blessed coming and going, standing and sitting, rising, lying down. It doesn't matter. He promises you'll be blessed. So why do we gotta stress, man? Why do we gotta stress?
Because we're
don't
human.
Stress.
Right. And that's why I said when I'm having those moments, I remember the story of Job. And so when those like today, when those moments happen, I have to just sit back and still be thankful and grateful and just be like, okay, this is just for a moment. It's not gonna last for long. So, yeah.
Thank him for the provision. Thank him for the provision. He's already provided for you.
And that he did. And someone has to remind
right.
me of that. When I, yes. When I got that phone call, it was like, but Wanda, look at it this way. And I was like, oh, my God, you're right. He does.
Yep.
because he knows what's getting ready to happen. He already knows what's getting ready to happen. So I was like, okay, I'm going to make sure that she has this. If she just believes and trusts and have faith,
That's right. He has you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's got our back.
Because I thought
man.
I was going to do something with this, and he was like, well, no, we're going to do this with that. And I'm like, okay. Okay.
God's awesome, man.
He is, and I love him so much. Love him so much.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
He's got me 100%. Most people would probably call me a Jesus freak, and I'm okay with that. Because at the end of the day, baby, I can help you get to where you need to be, and just like you were so gracious to share with the audience, man, when you leave from being hanging around with me, you better not be frowning. You're going to get a different perspective on life, baby. You're going to walk
yes.
out and, like, I posted that picture on that little post on Facebook. It shows a
mm-hmm.
kitty cat sitting
yes,
in front of a
right.
mirror. Okay, so I thought it was really funny. You know, somebody remarked about it, but the purpose of that picture was that I see myself as a kitty cat. And a kitty cat was looking in the mirror, and he should have seen
lion.
His reflection. But what mm-hmm. he saw was a lion. So
right.
I may be a kitty cat, but, baby, I got a lion on the inside of me, and it is roaring.
Yes.
That is true.
Yes.
Roaring. Yes.
I saw that. And I loved it because I could relate to that. Because I felt like a little kitten. For my walk, this is new, and I feel like a little kitten. So my thing
that's
is,
right.
when I saw that post, and I'm like, wow. But that's me. And that's me right there. I loved it.
Amen. Amen.
I loved it. So, Pamela, your workshops and your seminars, because I want, before we have to go, how can people get a hold of you? How can people reach out to you and get to be in your presence, like I and Stephanie have had the privilege of being in your presence? If someone wanted to reach out to you and talk to you, what could they do? Oh, and we lost her. Let me see if I can get her back on.
Oh, wow.
Yes, let me see if I can get her back on. Her phone, it dropped. Hopefully. Maybe she's in a bad area.
Oh, no. Did we get disconnected?
We did. And I was like, oh, no way. Because I was saying
what?
For people who want to actually reach out to you and
yeah.
be part of your swap shops, your workshops, your seminars, your motivational speeches, your telephone conversations, how can someone
yeah.
get a hold of you?
Sure. Hey, the best way to do it is just go to my website. It's PamelaHayden.com, and that's PamelaHay, D as in dog, EN as in Nancy, .com. And
yeah.
There's a contact page. Just fill it out. You know, that's my executive consultant page. That's where I do a lot of my people reach out to me that way, so I can. That's how we'll connect, and then I can find out what it is that they're looking for, and we can kind of go from there. And then once they make contact, then I'll hook them up with everything else I've got. I mean, I could sit here and go all day long, you know, blah blah blah. I could do Twitter, Facebook, blah blah blah. But I got it all. So yeah, I have them reach out there. I would be happy to help anybody. Get a fresh perspective and something new for them, man. Whatever it is they need,
and,
we're here.
And, yes, and I am elated to say that you're also a guest speaker at the our first annual Benefit Luncheon, August 22nd. So people can actually come out there, too, and meet you and get to know you and hear you speak live, which I am, like I said, I am so excited to have you. Actually, you're closing out, and I can't wait. I can't wait.
Well, I tell you,
I'm so excited.
God's already been, he's already been speaking in my ear, and I'm making notes, and yeah, I think we all need to buckle our seatbelts, baby. He's got some good stuff for us.
Cannot wait.
You know, because at the end of the day, he just wants to love on everybody, you know?
Mm-hmm. He does. I do have a group, too, that I wanted to actually talk about real quick. And it's called Young Life. And Young Life is an outreach to high school and middle school kids as well as teen mothers. This particular nonprofit organization is a group of adult leaders, either college students, young professionals, parents, or teachers. They spend time with kids both on school campuses and off campuses. Whether it's hanging out with them in football games, grabbing a bite at Sonic, showing support at recitals, a volleyball game, or just simply talking and walking. They are, you know, leaders in young lives. And what they're doing is they are having their first annual Young Life golf tournament, actually September 14th. And they support, like, teen mothers that just need someone to help them when they're going through the transition of being mothers. And they just want everyone to be aware that they want you to come out and have fun. Their tournament is at Tennyson Golf Course in Dallas, and it is on a Monday, which is September 14th. As I get more information about it, then I'll let everyone know. I do know that they want people to, you know, come out, have fun, play in this tournament with a purpose, making a difference in lives for kids. They're looking for people, let's see, they're looking for foursomes, and I'm not a golf, and I've gone to golf tournaments to observe, never played in one, but this is like it's going to be a lot of fun. Like I said, when I get more information from them, then I will also share that with people. My goal is to inform the community of different things that are going on, to let everyone know that's listening that, as you know, we can come together as a community to help out each other. I've learned that you can't do it all by yourself, and you'd be silly to try. So I tell everyone, hey, I have an outlet. God is blessing with this outlet, and I'm going to use it. So I will keep everybody informed on that.
That's a good thing, honey. There's a very true saying that if you will help enough people get what they want, then you never have to worry about anything that you want because it will just automatically happen.
Pamela Denise Banks was on this show last week, and she said the exact same thing.
Yep.
So there's confirmation.
So that's why the Lord says, you know, to seek first the kingdom of God. That's the first priority. So when we build the family of God, then God promises to build everything for us. So all I want to do is support you, be with you, whatever, you know, thing that it is that you're trying to promote and support people, be there, help be a leader, a volunteer, whatever it is you guys need, count on me. Just let me know, man.
Thank you, and I know I can. Thank you so much. We have, like, probably a minute left, so I just want to let everyone know, just feel free to contact me with questions, comments, and survival stories. The direct number is 214-454-2933. Our email address is wearesurvivorsfoundation@gmail.com. I want to thank God for you listening. I pray that today on the show something was said that touches your heart. We are here to help, to support, to guide, to listen, and to lift you up. And in the name of Jesus, we worship your holy name. God bless everyone that can hear our voice. I want to make sure that if you need someone, that we're here. And in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a good night.
Amen.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You
too. Bye-bye.